Maddie. What's your last name, Maddie?
Newman.
Newman, that's right. I've got it written in my phone. From Beau's Bowen. So who is Beau, Maddie?
So Beau is...
Beau. Gosh. I got it right before.
So Beau, I was struggling a lot to come up with a name for my practice, and I'm quite sort of spiritually and energetically inclined as well, and so through a bit of research I discovered that Beau is the Babylonian goddess of healing and canines, and those two things just fit so perfectly together that I couldn't resist using that as my tagline and my name for this business that I have. So yeah,
awesome. I love all those B's.
Yes, I'm a very big fan of an alliteration, so
good job. Okay, so now we've definitely got the pronunciation right, because that was my second thing. So I think that covers I said why name your business after her. What is canine bone therapy?
So canine bone therapy is a bodywork modality that focuses on the fascia of the body. And strictly in practice, it is a very gentle and minimalistic form of therapy, using gentle rolling moves on very specific areas of the body in very specific sequences. And so when we go through training, that is very encouraged and consolidated, that we need to be using these in a certain way. As you go on your own journey with it, I find that various people influence and bring in other works, as I have with my energetic work and things like that, but very much focused on that connective tissue and allowing rehydration and blood and lymph flow to those areas of tension or anxiety or fascial adhesions, as we like to say.
So once you clear the fascial adhesions, then it opens up the space so that then the fluid can flow correctly.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I often liken it to the sort of blueprint of the body almost. If we can change where the fascia sits, then the muscles can more easily slide into the place where they are meant to be. So if we sort of change the blueprint, then the blueprint changes the overall structure of the body as well.
That's right, and we're always changing blueprints with falling over and or, you know, various tension or stresses.
Absolutely, absolutely. Even, yes, as you said, the mental as much as the physical, whether it is a physical injury of a pulled muscle or the anxiety held in a dog's body.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, and what? Tell me about the energetic work that you accompany your Bowen with.
So for a very long time it was very much intuitive-based, just using sort of understanding body energetics and things like the energetic field around each human and animal and things like that, making sure that the intention for the work and that intention is very important in that energy work. What are we aiming to impact alongside the very sort of specific and scientific structure of Bowen therapy? I feel like they complement each other very well. And recently have done sort of Reiki qualifications as well to further enhance that energetic work.
Okay, so Reiki, do they separate it out to address animals, or is it the human levels that you've done?
I've just done the human levels, and they say that this sort of is very similar for animals. Even if animals require less Reiki, they have a lot less stuff in their body and in their energetic field than humans.
Oh, to be a dog.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. They just, and it's interesting too, watching sort of energetic work and even Bowen therapy, that the dog can't intellectualize that. They can't intellectualize that process and be like, oh, what if it doesn't work or what if it does work, and sort of they don't have that mental aspect to it, whereas with that energetic work, you can just see it happen, and you see it relax in their body without them questioning or thinking about it as mental humans do.
Oh, you've just given me some inspiration to spend a day or two like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Just without intellectualizing. Yeah. Oh, that feels like a really nice idea. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Maddie.
Oh, no, my pleasure.
How did you come to be practicing canine bone therapy?
So I went on a bit of my own health journey. I experienced a chronic pain disease called fibromyalgia for about 4 years, and used kinesiology and Bowen therapy in conjunction to heal myself and put myself into remission from that disease. And so once sort of experiencing that for myself, and my lifelong love of animals and dogs and growing up around horses my entire life, that really has sort of inspired me to look into this as something that I can do to help animals. I'm very, and that's my biggest thing is helping and healing before profit or sort of returns. It's very important for me to be able to do that for animals, especially because I feel like they don't necessarily have that voice of their own to be able to tell their owners, like, I need this or I need a certain thing. So that's a big sort of drive of mine.
Oh, that's awesome to, yeah, speak for the unspoken or unable to speak.
Yeah.
Wow, that's sweet. What kinds of things would I bring my dog to you for?
That's the magic of Bowen, and it's something that the more I learn with it and even experience it over these 3 years, the more things that I find that it's able to do. I do, obviously, a lot of rehabilitation from surgery, a lot of injury, muscular trauma or skeletal trauma and things like that, but I've actually had a lot of success in anxiety and aggression cases and reactivity, which is not something necessarily that Bowen is advertised as being able to do, but in my own experience have been able to get great results in that. So that's anything from separation anxiety, post-traumatic stress in a dog that used to be used for dog fighting, and an aggressive reactive case in a border collie. And in some cases, this is because the body is in pain, and so we heal the body, we heal the mind, and in some cases, the mind is affecting the body. And so that's a big thing for me.
The mind-body connection.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Do you think that you could be experiencing or noticing changes using your treatment, your style of Bowen and the energy work on such things as anxiety and aggression, reactivity, because you're implementing the energetic work as well?
I think to a degree, probably. I do think that there is, and this is scientific method research needs to come into using Bowen therapy, but I do think there is merit in using the Bowen therapy in and of itself, and even before I was implementing the Reiki, but using that sort of more intuitive energy, I do think that absolutely had a impact on how successful it was in treating those specific cases as well.
Okay, alright, because yeah, when we're feeling good within ourselves, we express that, don't we?
Definitely.
I guess.
Definitely.
How often do you recommend? Oh no, sorry. What do you notice that tells you your treatment is working for the dog that you're treating?
Lots of little things. I feel like they have so many ways of communicating. I do notice, especially in the second treatment, if a dog is quite nervous or apprehensive in a first treatment, which at times they can. I'm a stranger either in their home or in the workplace, and they aren't sure how to respond to that, and it is making quite fundamental and big changes, even though it is very minimalistic in its movements. So it can be a lot for them. But often by that second treatment, they're excited to come in, they're giving me cuddles and kisses and licks. And even in that first treatment, that relaxation, that change and shift in their demeanour and their energy and the way that they respond to the world is really wonderful. And especially watching them 5 minutes later either get very relaxed and go to sleep after an anxiety case, or getting up and walking around after a severe arthritis case. So it's very rewarding in that way as well.
So it's instant almost.
Yeah. And the thing is with Bowen, it does work or continue to work over 7 days. So you've got that immediate impact, but you've also got that longevity of impact as well. So the dog will continue changing and making those changes over that week's time.
Right. Okay, cool. That sounds really lovely, the cuddles and kisses part.
Absolutely. Very lucky.
Yeah. How often do you recommend clients have treatment then? So is it a maintenance type therapy or for acute issues, or is it can be it a bit of both?
A bit of both, definitely case by case basis. So I have some dogs, and I'm finding with like a few of my separation anxiety cases, it is a maintenance treatment. So I have one client who had 2 lots of Bowen therapy a week apart, and then it went to 2 weeks apart, and now it was one a month for about 3 months, and now it's once every 6 months that I just go and see him and top him up,
as I
like to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, that maintenance work. But then I have other cases of a dog who is terrified of the car after being in an accident. He only required 3 lots of Bowen therapy alongside some behavioural influences
playing car sounds whilst receiving the bone therapy and things like that as well.
That I love the power of association. That's a vital component to Genki Pet products. But I love that you've played the. Did you go out and record the sound of the car?
I found some. Yes, I was living in the middle of Fitzroy at the time, so I just went out with my recorder and recorded the trams and the cars and all sorts.
Oh, yeah. And how did he go?
Really, really well. I didn't introduce these sounds until about the second treatment, so we sort of relaxed and released as much as we could, and then sort of enacting those with those sounds was amazing. After just sort of two of those treatments, he was all good and loved the car again, and he was only an 8-month-old puppy too, so it was great to see that what could have been quite a lasting impact to him at such a young age was able to be remedied and reversed.
Oh, well done you.
Yeah,
that's so awesome.
Yeah, that
that's awesome. Well, his owners will be really grateful. Like in the family holidays, they'll now be able to have comfortably.
Absolutely.
That's brilliant. Separation anxiety is something I hear a lot in the pet world these days. Do you have an opinion about where? Because like when I grew up, the dogs were just dogs and they hung out in the backyard and you took them for walks and or to the park. Like where's this come from, and do you have an opinion about why it exists?
Yeah, so for me it's a lot to do with how we anthropomorphize our dogs and attribute human elements to them. And whilst I do believe they have a very rich inner life of their own, it is a dog's life, and that is not lesser or higher than a human's life in my opinion. They are of equal weight and standing, but it's different. They have different instincts, different desires, different needs and wants than when we attribute these very, very human elements to them and treat them like their children. And of course we love them and we care for them and we respect them so deeply, but we need to find a way of doing that that isn't making them a human child or making them have that sort of neuroses that I feel like we are attributing to them all the time.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, I have seen a few little puppies in prams recently, so yeah. God love them.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. What do you love most about being a canine bone therapist?
It's got to be the dogs and the how rewarding it is to be able to see the changes, and especially because I do work a lot with the behavioural or emotional cases. But it's that ability to be able to see that change and see that they are enriched by what I'm able to do for them. It's so rewarding, and it definitely does fill my heart and make the passion even stronger.
Oh, that's brilliant that you get that obvious feedback to what you're actually doing and trying to help with.
Definitely. And I feel that not many therapies can have that, and or behavioural trainers. And in some cases it is a process, and not everything happens overnight by any means, but it definitely, even the little things that you get to sort of appreciate and really treasure.
Yeah. I'm thinking that you're in lots of ways better off in that regard than therapists who work with human patients, because sometimes somebody will, because of the intellectualization of themselves and the process and everything else, they won't give you that obvious feedback. But if somebody jumps off the table and gives you a big lick and heaps of love, then yeah, they can't help themselves.
Definitely,
telling you.
Definitely. I feel like humans and humans have lots of other things that are layered on top of them that they don't necessarily want to express themselves or can't express themselves. Where with the dog, most of the time they are able to express themselves much better than anyone else, and definitely more than we humans can.
Another lesson from our canine friends for how to behave how to just enjoy the world today.
So just to be
in space. Yeah. What role do you see natural therapies for pets taking in the future?
I definitely think that there is it has quite a huge role to play. I think that I have so much respect for vets and veterinary practice and for that type of medicine, and would never say that needs to fall by the wayside. Everything I feel like needs to happen in conjunction as a complementary experience. But I do feel that we expect so much of our vets, that they are expected to be a nutritionist, a surgeon, a GP, a chemist. They have so much expansive knowledge that they need to all be aware of, and that's a lot to ask of a human. And so I feel like when we can reach out and we can support our vets in whatever ways that we can, through muscular therapy or through aromatherapy or whatever it might be, it really allows them to focus on what they need to and the great work that they are able to do.
Or even focus on what they enjoy the most about being a vet, because everyone's got their favourite bits of the modality that they like to practice. So yeah, I'm a big fan too of just sticking to what you do really, really well and getting others to come and help you with the other things.
Absolutely. Yeah. If I had a certain case that you'd want to be able to refer any particular client or patient to what they need. So they might need a kinesiologist, do they need a bone therapist, do they need a vet, do they need to go and speak to a psychologist? It's just, it's very much like you said, having that specificity allows for greater depth in what you're able to achieve.
And more specific patient care, because then the patient gets what they specifically need.
Absolutely.
Not just what that person's able to provide.
Definitely.
It's what the community can provide, so
yeah, a network of support around any patient, canine, human, feline, whatever it might be. The network of support, I believe, is very important from my own experience.
Okay, and have you found some vets who are, I know that there are holistic vets out there who are really pro, thinking about things from lots of different perspectives. Have you found one or two of them to work with?
Yeah, I do definitely feel no one specific. I don't have necessarily a vet that I've partnered with or anything like that, but it is when I do take my own dogs to vets and they ask, what do you do? And I mention, they're most of the time quite responsive and open and very engaged with what I can provide. And I have, there's a naturopath vet who operates in around the Brunswick area, and her name escapes me at the moment, but she has been very supportive and very much in directing clients my way, and I direct her clients her way as well.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Yeah.
Because it's complementary.
Yeah, very much so. And being able to see that, even that open-mindedness and appreciation or acceptance of what I do as well within the veterinary community in those little interactions I've had just in my own dog's experience, has been really nice to see as well.
That is nice. And what dogs do you have, Maddie?
I have a little flat coat retriever, cross cocker spaniel, that is the love of my life, named Bella. But I've also had a border collie that I trained as well as emotional support dog for a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, was it hard to...
That's the hardest part. But I know that he had a job to do and he's doing it very well. So.
Of course. Well done you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us about canine bone therapy, which until I met you, I didn't know existed. So I hope all our listeners are going to, walk away today having learned something new that they can do for their pets, and not sure if it's available for cats yet, or it is.
In my training, it is very much you can sort of put it on to both. Cats are even more responsive because they have such flexible and hydrated fascia already.
Don't they?
Way they can move their body. So they even require even less bone therapy manipulation than dogs do.
Than dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, well, awesome. That's so exciting. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's Maddie from Bowers Bowen.
Yeah.